Well, brother, have you ever tried to ride a horse backwards? I'm looking at some of our horse people. How many of you ever tried to ride a horse forward first? Let's start with that. Okay. Riding a horse backwards is pretty difficult. Now, it's not impossible, as horse people will tell you, but it's not easy. The problem is, you have no idea where you're going. And that makes it a little more difficult. It is easier to get knocked off your horse if you're not looking where you're going. You cannot direct your path. You cannot really tell the horse, the steed upon which you ride, where to turn if you're not looking forward. Turn with me to Exodus 14 in verse 15. Today, brethren, we'll be completing the days of unleavened bread. This celebration is an inherently forward-looking celebration. We are not looking back on leaven. We are looking forward to being unleavened. We're not dwelling in the past. We're focusing on the future. There's a quick statement by way of introduction here in Exodus 14, verse 15, that is very instructive for us today. Mr. Franks read over it, thankfully didn't focus on it so that I could. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" When we cry, we're normally looking where? Backward. What we missed, what we hurt, what's going on? Verse 16, tell the children, middle of verse 15. "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Today, brethren, we will see the importance of going forward. You know, you people carry a lot of baggage and you need to stop it. You know how I know that? I do too. We need to stop that. We need to go forward. What I'd like to do in the first part of this split sermon is see the progressive decline that occurs as a result of looking backward. Looking backward will kill you. It's like riding a horse full speed backward. You're gonna die. In all likelihood. Several steps in Israel's decline. Notice Exodus 14, verse 10. Then I'll give you a number of points to help frame our discussion. Exodus 14, in verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes. Where was Israel looking? Were they looking forward? If they were, they never would have known Pharaoh was back there. They were looking backwards. They lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So, what was their reaction? They were very afraid. Bad thing. Good thing, the children of Israel did what? They cried out to God. If you find yourself looking backward and being afraid, cry out to God. Good advice. What's the progression? Israel did its very best right here, where they cried to God. From this point onward, they continued to decline. Let's notice that as we go on. Here's step number one. What's the progression of falling away by looking backward? Step number one is, the world's not that bad. You mean Israel went from crying out to God to then saying, well, you know, the world's not that bad. How can I prove that? Let's look at Exodus 16 in verse 1. Let me paraphrase Israel's attitude at this point. They're out in the wilderness. They've crossed the Red Sea. And they're saying this: it's hard out here. Ever had that feeling? Being out of the world, it's hard. They didn't stop there. They said, I'm hungry. It's hard out here. I'm hungry. Now notice when you look back, who are you usually focusing on? Self. It's hard out here. I'm hungry. Moses, it's your fault. And Egypt wasn't that bad. Exodus 16 and verse 1. They journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Been out a month. The whole congregation, verse 2, of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. It's hard out here. I'm hungry. It's your fault. And you know what? Egypt wasn't that bad. Verse 3. The children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt. Wasn't that bad when we sat by the pots of meat? When we ate bread to the full, you brought us out in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. It's hard out here. I'm hungry. It's your fault. Egypt wasn't that bad. Ever known anyone to leave God's truth? To walk away? Doesn't happen overnight. It is a progression. It's a progression of attitude, of looking backward and looking selfishly inward. It's never looking forward. It's never looking up. Second step. Here's the attitude. The world's not that bad. Second step, God is unreliable. Can't rely on God. Turn over a page. Exodus 17, verse 1. Israel is now saying, it's hard out here. I'm thirsty. Before it was, I'm hungry. It's hot out here. It's hard out here. I'm thirsty. It's your fault. And God is questionable. Exodus 17, verse 1. Then all the congregation of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Eternal, camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. It's hard out here. I'm thirsty. It's your fault, Moses. Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Eternal? Verse 3. The people thirsted for water and complained against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Why do you do that? It's hard out here. I'm thirsty. It's your fault. In verse 4, Moses cried to the Eternal saying, what shall I do with this people? They're ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, go on before the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel. Take in your hand your rod, which with you struck the river, and go. Behold, I'll stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you'll strike the rock. Water will come out that the people may drink. So Moses did so in the sight of the Eternal, or sight of the elders of Israel. He called upon the name of the place. He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel. And notice this. And because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Eternal among us or not? When a person departs from the truth, they begin to accept the argument, the world's not that bad, and God is questionable. Hasn't done what I think he ought to have done. Hasn't stepped in where I think he ought to have stepped in. Hasn't performed the way I think he ought to perform. It's like treating God like a little show pony. He's supposed to jump when I need. This is God we're talking about. This is not a show pony. It's not a little puppy we make do things for us. This is the great God. And yet people get to the point where they say, God, boy, he's just a little unreliable. I don't know if you can trust him or not. He hasn't performed the way I think he ought to perform. So Israel is in essence saying, the world's not that bad. And God is unreliable. Point number three. Person who departs from the truth eventually comes to this attitude. We'll see it in Israel. The world's way is better. The world's way is better. You see the progression? Turn to Numbers chapter 11. First, we begin to think the world's not that bad. God's unreliable. And we begin to believe that the world's way is better. Numbers chapter 11 in verse 4. Here's what Israel is saying. They're saying, it's hard out here. I'm hungry again. It's your fault. God is unreliable. Egypt was better than this. Ever have those thoughts? Satan ever inject those thoughts into our mind on occasion? You know what? I didn't have these kind of struggles when I was out there. Didn't have this stress fighting against Satan's world when I was out there. Of course not. Numbers 11 and verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. The King James says they went a-lusting. Intense craving, good definition. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? It's hard out here. I'm hungry again. Whose fault is it? Moses' fault. God's unreliable. We remember, verse 5, the fish which we freely ate in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. They obviously lived at the Olive Garden. They weren't in slavery. Boy, talk about selective memory. Verse 6, but now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. It was way better back there. Now it goes on to explain what the manna was like. It was wonderful stuff. And almost the writer Moses kind of inserting, can you believe they were complaining about this perfect food that tasted so wonderful, could be prepared just about any way? Down to verse 10. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every one at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Eternal was greatly aroused. Moses was also displeased, and rightly so. It's hard out here. I'm hungry. It's your fault. God's unreliable. Egypt was better than this. When a person departs from the truth, they begin to believe these lies. It's hard out here in God's truth, in God's church. I'm hungry. I'm not sure for what, but I'm hungry for something. Something I'm not getting here. It's your fault. You ever find someone leave the church and not blame the church or someone else in the church? Well, it's the church's fault. Moses, it's your fault. It's the attitude. It can't be me. After all, I'm me. How could it be my fault? I recently had to drop out of the Facebook Ambassador Alumni page because it just continued for months on end to turn my stomach to hear people in this attitude. Nothing that ever went wrong in college was my fault. I was being put upon. It was hard there. I was hungry. It's somebody else's fault. God is unreliable. And you know, the world's a lot better than that. What a farce. What a sad attitude. Let's go on to the next point, point number four. Here's the progression Israel went through. Here's the progression someone goes through when they look back instead of forward. Point number four, I'm thinking about going back. I'm thinking about going back. Or maybe if you were raised in the church, I think I'm going to go out into the world. Leave these shackles behind. I think I'm going to go experiment with the world. I can guarantee anyone who's grown up in the church and then says, I'm going to go experiment in the world, has a good experiment. Now, there's enough of us here who've been there, raised in the church, walked out the door, said, let's see if it's going to work. and are back here now. So you please, if you're thinking that way, go interview them. Say, what was it like? Did you find satisfaction there? See, Israel at this point is saying, it's hard out here. I'm scared. Forget hunger and thirst for a minute. I'm scared. God hates us, or at least he's unreliable. I think I'm going back to Egypt. I don't need this kind of headache. Thinking, of course, that if we go back, well, there's no headaches in Egypt. There's only onions and garlics and melons and cucumbers. That's what I'm going back for. Give me that cuke. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1. The Eternal spoke to Moses saying this, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So you remember the story. Moses, verse 2, chapter 13, verse 2, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Eternal, all the men who were heads of the children of Israel, fine, upstanding, well thought of men, sent into the land. Verse 21. So they went up, spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath, and they went up south, and they went up north, and they went east and west. Down to verse 25. Came back and reported. Verse 25. They returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed, came back to Moses and Aaron, and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. At Kadesh, they brought back word to them, and all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them, yes, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit, these giant fruits they brought. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwelt in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Anak in Hebrew means big dude. No, I just made that up. Doesn't mean that. But that's what they thought. They're giants. It's hard out here. Now I'm scared. God obviously hates us. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And I'm thinking of going back. Continue in chapter 14 and verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel complained against Moses. It's hard out here. I'm scared. God hates us. It's your fault. I think I'm going back. They complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we died in this wilderness. Why has the Eternal brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Thinking about going back. The world's not that bad. God's unreliable. The world's way is better. I'm thinking about going back. That's what Israel was saying. Point number five. It's a mistake to go God's way. It's a mistake to go God's way. That's what Israel came to. It's hard out here. My needs are not being met. You see someone leave the truth with that kind of attitude? My needs are not being met. I'm just not getting much out of this. I don't get it. I don't see it. My needs aren't being met. It's your fault. Perhaps someone leaves saying, well, you know, we're not really getting much meat church these days. Give me a break. Every week, God's word is read. You tell me you're not getting meat? I don't care who the speaker is. This is God's word. If we can't get meat out of this, something is drastically wrong with our spiritual digestive system. We are plugged up, and it's not a good way. The amount of meat is determined by your attitude and my attitude, not the speaker. We all know that. Turn to Numbers chapter 20. It's hard out here. My needs are not being met. It's your fault. I should never have left Egypt. I should never have left. It's been a mistake to go God's way. Numbers chapter 20, in verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month. The people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Verse 2, now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Now, which verse of the song is this? It's hard out here. My needs aren't being met. It's your fault. Never should have left Egypt. Never should have left. Verse 3. The people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Eternal. It is never a good idea to tell God, I wish I were dead, because he will see to it sooner than we might like. Verse 4. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Eternal into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? We never should have left. It's a mistake to have gone God's way. Now, I've read people's words. I wasted 20 years of my life in that church. And you think, well, I guess you did. But whose fault is that? Certainly not the church's. We don't have a life-wasting booth at the back of services. You know, sign up if you'd like to be part of the life-wasting club. You know, we'll help you with that. Who's wasted life? That's one person's responsibility if life is wasted and it's not the church's. Whose life was it? Pretty clear. Verse 5. Why have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is it not a place of grain? It is not, I should say, a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. Now, did they have any of that stuff back in Egypt? No. They were slaves. They had to make bricks without straw. Go gather their own straw. It's not a place of grain or figs or vine or pomegranates. Nor is there any water to drink. No food, no beverage. It's hard out here. I'm depressed. The world's way is better. I think I'm going back. In fact, it was a mistake to ever have started here. Ever known people that have taken on that attitude and disappeared? I have. You probably have too. That leads to the final step, number 6. I hate God's way. That's what it comes to. I hate God's way. We could add to that, I hate God's people, I hate God's church, I hate any authority over me, usually goes right along with that. I hate God's way. Israel is now saying, it's hard out here, I'm depressed, it's your fault and God's fault. It was a mistake to ever have come out. I hate this. Numbers chapter 21. Now there may be some here today who went through as a young person, part of this scenario, and have come to understand something very different as they matured, as they grew in God's way. As they learned from the world, that not all that it's cracked up to be. Numbers chapter 21. Let's look at verse 4. They journeyed from Mount Hor. Now remember, the New Testament tells us all of Israel's experience was for what purpose? For our learning. Our learning. That's why we're going through this. Verse 4, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. The soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, discouragement is a tough thing to deal with sometimes. Sometimes it's because of life circumstances. We struggle with this. Sometimes it's because of our own really bad decisions. Their depression, their discouragement had nothing to do with Moses, Aaron, Ten Commandments, God, God's way, God's law. It had everything to do with the decisions they made. They messed themselves up badly. And now they're discouraged. It's not to say always is discouragement that causal, but it certainly was in this case. I'm depressed. It's your fault. It's God's fault. He hates us. Never should have come out. I hate this way of life. Continue on in verse 5. It's this New King James Bible in paragraphs. I don't like it. Verse 5. See, I have my readers in case it gets really bad. Verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. It's your fault. It's God's fault. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? You hate us. Well, we hate you back. For there is no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. They even came to hate what God fed them. How tragic is that? Verse 6, so the Eternal sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now, I know these folks will be in the second resurrection, but I'm sure it's my twisted sense of humor. I think this was showing God's sense of humor. You're going to tell me there's no food, there's no water, you hate the bread I'm feeding you, how would you like some snakes for dessert? Now, I'm sure God is not like that. That's me. That's not God. But to think that they came to the point that they hated God's way. We should never have left. Now they realize they can't go back. That's the source of the discouragement. Ask anyone who's been out there and now back to say, was that the option? I went out there. Now there's no place to go. I'm not happy here either. I know too much. Can't be happy out there. Got to go back. Came the whole circle. So their attitude progressed from, well, the world's not that bad. God is unreliable. The world's way is better. I'm thinking about going back. It's a mistake to have gone God's way. In fact, I hate God's way. Now, we said at the outset that this sermon was going to be about looking forward. Go forward. I would submit to you, Israel was riding a horse backwards. They were looking back to Egypt, as Mr. Frank said this morning. In their heart, they never left Egypt. They actually thought it would be better there. In spite of the misery that they were in before they left, hindsight said, oh, it was wonderful there. Now, this is not to say anything about us old people, but ever hear an old person talk about the good old days? It was a lot better back then, you know. Yeah, we had smallpox and cholera and some of those things, but still, it was a lot better back then. It's not to say that we haven't degraded a great deal. I'm not saying that. What was the result when Israel looked forward for brief moments? Turn back to Exodus 14. What was the result? We know the result of living life looking backwards. Riding the horse, looking back at Egypt, yearning for the past, yearning for the world, finding out it wasn't there in the first place. It wasn't any good in the first place. There were a few brief windows in Israel's history where they turned around and looked forward. What was the result of that? Exodus 14 in verse 14. We are here at the Red Sea. Remember in verse 10, Pharaoh drew near. They were looking back. But what do? They cried out to the Eternal. So down in verse 14, we see the result. The Eternal will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. When we look forward and cry out to God, God makes us a promise. He will fight the battle. Verse 15, the Eternal said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward into the water. what would be dry land very shortly. Drop down to verse 22. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. When they cried to God, when they looked forward, what did God do? He opened a way for them. He opened the way for them. When they looked backward, complained, he sent them poisonous snakes. Now you ask, which would I rather have? A pathway cleared for me or snakes biting me? I think most of us would choose the path, not the snakes. Down in verse 29. Verse 29, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were to them a wall on their right hand and on their left. Verse 30, so the Eternal saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Looking forward and trusting God results in escape. Escape from a life of sin, from the penalties of sin. It's a life of deliverance from sin. It is freedom. Riding into the world, looking backward, is the opposite, is slavery to sin. We learned about that leading up to the days of unleavened bread. That we wanted to get rid of sin. We wanted to look forward. We entered the 7 days of unleavened bread looking ahead. Probably looking forward to many of the things we'd eat. God specifically, right after manna, he created matzah toffee. It was on the bush right next to the manna, I'm sure. Had to be. Not sure what coriander seed tastes like, but I hope it's caramel or butterscotch or something. Turn finally, brethren, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. What must we do as we leave the days of unleavened bread? Well, we know we can't have the attitude that the world was not that bad. God is unreliable. The world's way is better. I'm thinking of going back. It's a mistake to have gone God's way. In fact, I hate God. That's not the way. We leave these days of unleavened bread, not looking back over the Red Sea, back toward Egypt. We leave these days going forward. As I said earlier, you got some baggage. Leave it in the Red Sea. Thank you very much. Let go. Look forward. That's what Paul says here. One of the great lessons of the days of unleavened bread is looking forward. March ahead. Don't ride the horse backward. Trust God. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3 verse 13, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. None of us sit on our laurels because we think we've made it. We're fine. Nothing to overcome. If anyone enter these days of unleavened bread saying, well, I have no leaven to put out. Wow. Well, no wonder I've been keeping these days for 4 years now. No wonder I don't have any leaven to put out. Of course, none of us felt that way. We again, no matter how many we've kept, here's leaven we need to get rid of. I want that to change. But we're looking forward. We enter the days looking forward. Now let's eat the leaven, the unleavened bread, I should say. Let's put in righteousness. Don't look back, look forward. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I've still got leaven. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. When you ride the horse backward, what are you usually looking at? Just saying. That's what we want as our view for the rest? No. Forgetting those things which are behind, pun intended, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now is the list of what we will do. Leaving the days of unleavened bread. What are we doing differently? Not just what are we going to try to avoid, as we've said before. What are we doing differently? Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Brethren, the rearview mirror is tiny for a reason. We glance into it to learn, to get some perspective, but we do not ride backwards. So, brethren, as we exit these days of unleavened bread, let us learn from the past. Let us leave it behind. Let's pick up our eyes and in faith and in trust in our great God, go forward.